everybody. Welcome back to the Capital Creative Showcase. It's Tyler. I'm here with one of the game developers and actually one of the workers here at the event. So go ahead and introduce yourself, man. Let the people know who you are and what game you got here.
Hi, my name is Thomas Ruiz. I'm one of the organizers here at the Capital Creative Showcase. I'm the vice president of SDC, but one of my games is also here right now, Board of the Kings, a chess RPG.
Chess RPG. Kind of explain how did that premise come to be? Because I feel like that's something that you don't think about. You don't put those two together.
So the premise kind of came about. We kept seeing games like XCOM or Fire Emblem kept getting compared to like chess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we thought, it would be fun if we combine RPG mechanics with chess. You know. Because you always see like XCOM, it's like a tactical chess match or whatever. So you're like, if we did make a tactical chess match, you know? And that's how that kind of came about.
So you took it quite literal. You were like, what if chess was a tactile RPG?
Oh yeah, no, and it's worked out surprisingly well. So how it is in the game, it's your units, your pieces are like your units, and their class is basically what type of piece type they are. So you have pawns, bishops. Rooks, all of that. And so they can level up, develop personalities, or at least that's what we're developing towards right now. Yeah. But in the final release, they'll level up, develop personalities, die, so you can feel bad when they die. And so each match each match is not going to be a full chess match with, 8x8, each team full army or whatever. There'll be interesting different variations. Like, there'll be different tile types like water, rock, fire. There will be, you can place your pieces on the board strategically. You might only have like a 5-piece army or maybe a 10-piece army. Maybe it's all pawns or maybe it's like one queen and a rook and a what have you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're taking chess and we're kind of pushing it in the direction of something like Fire Emblem.
You're putting a story behind chess, essentially.
Exactly.
Which is kind of cool to think about because it's quite literally an open board. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like you can make it whatever you want it to be. So like is your character like the one that's commanding? Is that a separate character or is that like the king piece in the game?
Story-wise, it is the king piece in the game. Yeah.
Because that was the thing I was thinking about. I'm like, is the controller the guy who's creating his army in the story or is it like the king? But it's cool that like each piece is going to have its own type of personality.
Yeah.
So is there like additions to the can you add weapons to a like in a traditional RPG?
We're thinking about it right now. That stuff is mainly relegated to like level up abilities, but we have been thinking about implementing stuff like buying and equipping armor or weapons and stuff to increase attack damage or defense and whatnot, stuff like that.
And is it like traditional chess and just taking a piece? Like if you land on it, you take the piece?
Yeah,
or is
it's like that. However, with the addition of pieces with more than one health, we have to kind of rethink some of those rules.
So some pieces will have more health than others.
Okay,
that's cool. No, I like the premise behind chess with more to it.
So to kind of give you an example of what it looked like, so basically when you're at your piece is at level 0, it's like a regular chess piece.
Okay.
But for instance, like bishops, when they level up, they can, gain more abilities to, pull enemy towards them. Or they kind of act like a healer almost as well.
Okay.
They can heal other pieces or, they can heal other pieces, bring the other pieces back from the dead,
Yeah.
So kind of putting that little spin of RPG mechanics onto chess pieces.
So let's say, your pawn piece, it makes it to the opposite end of the board. Because traditional chess rules would be like, you get to pick a piece. So what does that entail?
Right now in the game, it does level up like a regular, you can change it to queen or a rook or what have you. But what's that's going to happen in a regular, in how our game is going to look, we haven't worked out the rules entirely yet because our board might not always be 8x8. But generally what we're thinking about doing now is that if it does reach the end of the board and it is like a certain, 8x8, then it might just like level up that piece instead of turning it into a rook or what have you. But you know what? That could be an ability, change your piece into like a high level rook or something like that. So
it would be interesting to flesh out the mechanics of because some pieces move better than others. And if you get a pawn across, it could, level up the pawn, stuff like that. So it's cool that you guys took the opposite end of the spectrum where people were saying, this RPG game is like chess. Well, now this is a chess RPG game. Yeah. So
we
it's
call
cool
it a,
to have that.
We're calling it a CRPG.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a joke. Hi,
it's
Mom.
Cool.
I'm doing an interview.
It's so cool. Like, it's just so different than other RPG games. So, like, it's cool to see that, like, oh, a piece can take more than one hit.
Yeah.
You know, and so different.
It definitely changed a lot of the strategy.
Yeah.
If you're wondering why I said hi, Mom, my mom came and visited right now to check out the game.
We love the parent support out
here. We love the parent support, absolutely.
Yeah. So is there a place that people can follow the progression of the game? Is there demos?
No, we have our... You can currently play the current build right now up on our link tree.
Okay.
It's Board of the Kings. You can find us on itch.io. We also have an Instagram, a Twitter. We also have a Patreon. So if you really like this game idea, you can support us on Patreon. Every little bit helps. Right now, I want to say we're around 6 or 7 months from Vertical Slice. So the goal with this game, get to Vertical Slice, start pitching it to publishers. But if not, if we can't do that, then our goal is to turn it into something like kind of a roguelike a little bit. Because we do want to do the full-on story mode, the full-on campaign. You know what I mean? But if we can't do that, we are probably going to end up turning to something more like a roguelike, maybe Into the Breach, because we do have the mechanics in the back end to support that. So if we need to get something out. But everyone on the team, we've been developing for a year and 3 months at this point. Everyone on the team is super incredible. Everyone on the team is super awesome. I love working with everyone here. This team has been such a blessing, honestly.
Yeah. So. Well, and you guys have definitely been hard at work, because everything that I've seen so far, I mean, you're in the booth right next to us.
Yeah.
It's really cool to, like, be able to literally watch your game being played and see how the functional mechanics work and stuff. So, that's cool.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
I've just spoken as a Board of the Kings member, but mind if I speak as an SDC vice president really
Absolutely.
Quickly? Yeah. So yeah, this is the Capital Creative Showcase. It's run by SDC. I'm the vice president there as well. And we're an organization, Sacramento, dedicated to helping the local gaming community. We have been around for almost 10 years at this point. We run game jams. We run networking events. We run this, the Capital Creative Showcase. And it's been a blast. And now in this industry, in this time in the industry, developers need as much support as they can. And so we're a nonprofit. Every penny we get goes back to the community.
Yeah.
And we just introduced memberships for SDC, which you know, you can donate monthly. I think it's in like tiers of like 5, 15, and 30. And if you want to donate, help out the community, every little bit helps. Seriously. Yeah. We don't keep any of the money. It all goes back to the developers to help run things like this and help get games seen, get games get published and all of that. Also, we're doing the Progressive Game Jam Educational Edition, which is a game jam for students that runs between 2 and 3 months. And we're going into Sacramento high schools and whatnot and actually teaching kids on how to make games.
Yeah.
And how to, you know, and training them how to be developers and whatnot. So, yeah, every little bit helps with all of that. And
we have high school kids here who have made games and have made character models. And, like, they've started their journey, you know.
Exactly,
so it's cool that you guys are here to help kind of guide that journey and kind of show and give them a roadmap to somewhere, you know what I mean?
A large part of this showcase, we did have a section just for the PGJ Ed students, and to showcase off the work they've done, and I'm one of the teachers for that initiative, and I just got to say, like, it is so awesome and amazing, just seeing all these, like, what these kids are able to make. It's so impressive, both as an educator and as a game designer.
Yeah.
It makes me very confident in the future of, like, you know, maybe the industry isn't the best right now, but those like, just seeing their creativity and stuff, I feel like the industry is in good hands for this incoming generation. So
And we appreciate all that you do, making this happen, making the event work, and just giving back to the community. So, like, you know, we can come out here and chat about, you know, the different games and all that kind of stuff. So we just appreciate you, you know, dedicating your time to making the event as best as it can be.
It's my pleasure. Now, while I got you here, So there is a Developer's Choice Award.
Man, you're gonna put me on the spot.
All right. So putting you on the spot. All right, if you don't want me to, I could. Yeah.
No,
so,
I gotta do it. You already did it.
So the Developer's Choice Award. So we're going. So we have a People's Choice Award. So anyone can vote for that. But for the Developer's Choice, we're going around to the people exhibiting stuff here and asking them what their favorite game is, and we're gonna announce it at probably in like 45-ish minutes at this point. So yeah.
Man, there's a lot of good games here.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
I mean,
of course you're gonna vote for Board of the Kings, right?
They might not invite me back if I don't vote that way.
I'm kidding. I'm absolutely kidding.
No. I might have to go with the Voss Souls game.
Voss Souls. Okay.
Yeah. His is incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just has. I've watched the development of the game. Like from the starting point to where he is now. The game's fleshed out really well. It's a Metroidvania platformer, which I'm not a big fan of, but I really like this.
Uh-huh.
So it's proof to me that like he's doing really good game design, because somebody like me who's not a big fan of the genre in general really likes his style. So
nice. That is the one I haven't checked out. I gotta need to go check it out at this point.
Absolutely, you should. But any of the games here are just incredible. No, it's hard to vote for just one.
Yeah, this is just me speaking as organizer, but like, you know, big thank you to everyone who came, showcased out their game. Everyone here, everyone is a real winner. And I don't know that's cheesy, but I truly mean it. It's so, every game here has just been so impressive to look at, so fun to play, and as a developer, it's just awesome to see such a talented group of people come together.
So where can they follow for the events that are upcoming in regards to like the next one of these coming up and stuff
so
like that?
We have a website, Sacramento Developer Collective.
Okay.
Go definitely check that out. We generally have an updated calendar. After Capital Creative Showcase, we tend to go quiet for a bit because we are planning a lot of stuff this year. We're going to do a big initiative to get in more workshops and talks from developers to the collective. So, and it's not just for the collective, it's for anyone who wants to come, you know. So we have plans for, you know, level designers to come down, for programmers. We have a really cool one coming up in June. A BioWare cinematics artist is going to teach a class on how to make Unreal.
That's cool.
How to make cutscenes in Unreal and whatnot. So we're doing a big initiative on those things. So if you're in the area or at least very interested, we'll probably end up uploading a lot of these classes to YouTube for people to see. Yeah. If you are at all interested, subscribe to our YouTube channel and join our Discord. Our Discord is where there's a giant hub of activity. SDC. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, guys. I mean, come out here and support local developers. Do everything you can. Thank you again, man, for taking the time to come and chat and all that kind of stuff as well.
No problem. Before I leave, I see Frank's right there. I haven't gotten his vote yet. Frank, what
do you
think?
Get your vote, man.
Yeah, get your vote,
get
Frank.
Get your vote. I mean, again, it's so hard to do, right? He's right here. He's looking at me. No, but I actually had a conversation with Cobalt Tactics, and the amount of choices that go in that game, I mean, it's unreal. I have to go Cobalt Tactics.
Cobalt Tactics? Yeah. Okie dokie. All right. Thank you both. Thanks both of you for coming. And also thank you, Geek Freaks, for coming out. You guys make this event so fun, so awesome. We bring so much life and joy to it. It wouldn't be the Capital Creative Showcase without you guys.
No,
so,
we enjoy being here, man. We appreciate you having us.
Thank you so much.
All right, we're here at the Capital Creative Showcase, and let's go over some of the news from the week. Jonathan, I know you're an Office fan, that's correct?
Yeah, oh, heck yeah.
So they have a reboot coming.
Do they? Yeah. So I've seen some teasers about it, but not official, like, oh yeah, we're going to do it. Just people suggesting it.
Reboot might be a bit of a harsh word, but they're basically doing a new Office.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's not going to be Michael Scott necessarily.
So more of a sequel, right? A continuation?
Continuation is a good word for it.
Yeah.
They added two pretty solid actors to the roster so far.
Okay.
We have Donald Gleason. He's from Star Wars. I'm showing you a picture of him now. He's from the newer Star Wars. He's from Ex Machina.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then we also have Sabrina Impastor, and she's from White Lotus Season 2, which I know you're not super a White Lotus fan, but I'm a big White Lotus fan.
Yeah.
She does a great job of playing that, like, mean boss.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of hoping she becomes the Michael Scott of it all. Or maybe Michael Scott's boss.
Well, he's gone, right?
I mean, well, I'm saying Michael Scott as in like the boss
manager's
running things. Yeah.
Manager's boss. I got you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a title.
yeah, because that person kind of changed a few times too.
Changed, and they even kind of like they made them fall from grace sometimes.
Yeah,
cause but it was always the person getting down on Michael.
Yeah, yeah, because he like fell in love with Jan. That's what it was in the beginning. Yeah. And then after she left, it was, what's his name? I don't know. Yeah, they had cool people in that role. But yeah, I think it'd be good to have. It's nice to have the struggle, power struggle back and forth between upper management and then the lower management trying to be down to earth, middle management, you know, trying to be one of the guys and that power struggle.
Do you think we need an office, a new office?
I think, well, we're seeing this happen a lot with a lot of stuff where we're seeing sequels of old movies finally coming back, you know, 10, 15, 20 years later. And I don't know how old this is, but I know it's going to probably surprise us when we look up how old The Office is when it last aired. And it's a classic. I mean, it's got such a huge fan base. So I think it's kind of like Friends if they brought Friends back, you know, 10 years after it finished.
Yeah.
I think it'll do good at least initially. People will give it a shot, and then if they got their formula right, I think it'll be a hit.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on to our next topic here. Uh-huh. We have Amazon Prime just renewed Fallout for season 2. They're saying it's a surprise success.
Yeah, that's awesome, too. I loved it. I thought it was a really good show. It was like, you know, it has a little bit of that kind of quirky stuff that we like in games, but doesn't translate well into mainstream TV and movies. But I think they did a really good job at kind of melding the two together and making it palatable for the people that aren't video game fans and still staying, it seems like, relatively true to the video game itself.
Well, that being said, I felt like they went for it, you know, because there's, in comparison to Halo, which I think is what everybody's comparing it to right now.
Yeah.
Halo, I think they pulled their punches too much.
Yeah.
And this one just like, hey, what the heck? We're going to show crazy fingers coming off and whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was fun. It was to see them actually go for it like that.
Yeah. Halo pulled their punches in some aspects, but you still have like, you know, the Covenant, the way they look, the elites and stuff like that, they look very video game-esque. So if you're going to have something that looks that gruesome, why are you trying to softball the story and make it, you know, they just changed it too much. I don't know. There's plenty of flaws in it.
I think you're right.
But yeah, Fallout was really well done. I look forward to more seasons of it. Actually, like most people, I really want to play the games now after seeing the show.
One of the things that's happening with this Fallout project is it was originally filmed in Utah, which you can tell it's definitely Utah, you know, that landscape, and in New York. But there's a $25 million tax credit if they move to California, so they're moving to California.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I never heard about that before, but I mean, to help encourage people to film in California rather than other states, but that's great. There's beautiful landscapes and stuff, and I've heard that the next location is most likely going to take place in San Francisco. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I could see them doing that. Yeah, heading north because the actual show is in, the setting is California. So that would make sense that they would go that way.
Yeah.
That's from Halo 1 or Fallout 1 and 2.
Whether it'll be actually filmed in San Francisco or not, you know, it might be certain small scenes in the majority in Bakersfield or something.
That's a great point, though. But when you're going to show a California landmark,
A bridge.
The bridge is one of the best. Exactly. Right? That's a good point. All right, so we talked about it a little bit beforehand, but Apple just allowed their first emulator on their App Store, and you had a chance to test it out, right?
I did. Well, I downloaded it. The only game I got so far was Tetris, and I played it very briefly, but I think that's really cool. I mean, that really just threw open the door that now, I mean, emulators are allowed on an Apple product. There's tons of games that we could download individual small, you know, Tetris games and stuff, a lot of them free, you know, some you have to pay for. But I think this kind of opens the door for us to be able to get access to a lot more, like, old games, retro games, and, like, indie games, I imagine.
What do you think about the idea that playing an emulated ROM is stealing?
I don't know the technicalities behind that. Is it, do they not have the license to share that game?
No. I mean, let's say Frank here downloaded Pokemon Fire Red and was playing it on his phone.
Yeah.
And I don't own the license to do that.
You don't, but the person that you got it from does, right?
Maybe, but so it's not like, but they're letting everybody in the world borrow it?
That's true. It's like if you bought a book, photocopy every page of it, and then you download them and give them away free on the internet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the original content creator of, you know, Tetris or whatever isn't getting any kind of residual funds or any kind of pay, any money from you playing that game. Yeah, that kind of sucks. I guess that should be, I guess I would have to be on the side that it should be shut down or not allowed to some extent. We benefit from it. And, you know, do. But
now but, I want to give you the counter argument to that.
Yeah.
What about the idea that it's a way of preserving forgotten games? Tetris is pretty popular, but say you're playing a more forgotten game of that era that is almost not touched anymore.
Yeah.
Preserving it in a way.
So we talked recently about Disney and the licensing of Mickey Mouse and how is, you know, the trademark, whatever, is going to be available for everybody to use.
Public domain.
Maybe, I don't know the rules with video games, but maybe it should be the same kind of thing. After so many years of you making money on a game you created, it eventually becomes public domain. And then can be on emulators without it being stolen.
Yeah, but the problem with that is for Mickey, it was, what, 110 years?
Yeah, something like that.
110-year-old video game, those ones don't exist. So we still have another 70 years at least. But change the rule, I think maybe a time, I think would be fine.
Yeah. Do the math of, you know, what's the average game's lifespan of producing revenue, and then double that. Say a game normally lasts 4 years that it's actually making money. Maybe more than that. BioShock I just paid for not too long ago, but you know, double it, maybe make it 15 years 20 years. But once that deadline is reached, then it's like, hey, you guys have had your time. This is, you know, a piece of art that the community wants to enjoy still, like, let it be free. And, you know, it still gets your name out there, you're still remembered from that classic product. So I think there's a gray area in there where we can find a happy medium.
Now, looking at emulators and ROMs, is there a certain game that you would be excited to revisit?
I don't know. I feel like I don't have time to play a lot of games anymore. Right? That's the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
I do have several games that I like BioShock. I recently downloaded to play it again.
It's classic.
And then, I have an emulator where I was playing Star Fox not too long ago.
To me, my go-to is always Diddy Kong Racing. It's always the first thing I download. Every time I have a new ROM situation.
And Turok. I remember playing Turok back in the day, and I played it again, maybe like 2 years ago or something like that, and I realized, oh, this game is pretty rough.
It is rough.
It does not age well.
No. It is bad. It is actually a bad game, if I'm being honest. Like, the turns, the angles. And if you remember, we played that on the N64.
We loved it so much back then.
We didn't have a lot of options.
Yeah.
And it was really, you know, a 3D shooter. And honestly, if you're asking me, it looks better than 007 that everybody's crazy for, GoldenEye. But you remember back then, you used to turn by pressing the yellow buttons?
D-pad buttons?
D-pad buttons, So it's so wonky.
But
for me, it's always Diddy Kong Racing, but I mean, there's a bunch of them out there that I don't want to be forgotten in time.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? So it would be nice a way to have, you know, maybe there is a way, with open, you know, open source, now everybody can have it. Or maybe we have like a congressional library type of thing where like they adopt it and it's now protected as, you know, something that's accessible to everybody.
Yeah, if there's a big enough organization that would just buy the rights to kind of retire a game and make it free for everybody.
Yeah.
Once it's past a certain age.
Next up, we have the fact that Sweet Tooth is season premiere date was announced. And they have Kelly Marie Tran, who's going to be joining the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Marie Tran is from Star Wars. But it's coming out June 6th. Now, I loved the first season of Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, me too.
And frankly, I haven't watched season 2.
Oh, really?
Did you watch it?
I watched all of season 2, too. Yeah.
How is it?
It was really good.
I got to sit down and watch it.
There wasn't as much of the discovery that you see in this first season. You know, it's kind of building the world and the characters, which it did well. But season 2 is a little more like coming together and finding hope and fighting the villain, which turned out to be really good.
I'll have to watch it. But there's just so much content out there to watch. It's hard to keep up on it all.
There's going to be a point where we're just going to get overwhelmed and not watch anything because there's too many choices.
I know. And I just need to spend time. What I need to do.
Prioritize.
I think you talked about this.
No, create an app called Q where somebody else can suggest to you, or you can add queue of what needs to be watched next. And it can be broken down to categories. You know what? Hey, I got 15 minutes. Let me play a game, a real brief game, and then look at my queue. Okay, what games has everybody suggested I play next?
And then and what's nice about that is it extends past Netflix and Hulu.
Exactly.
Because the problem is like, oh, yeah, I've got my watch list on Netflix, but I feel like watching Hulu or whatever. Yeah. So on that app, you can organize it by that and stuff. That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah. That's a good move.
And it could be beyond streaming services. It could be, you know, this thing in what's coming in theaters that I should watch soon.
Yeah.
Or you go to a nice restaurant and you're like, oh, I got to recommend this to so-and-so because they really like this kind of food, you know. I don't know.
That's a great point about the theaters, because when you're watching the previews for the theaters, you know, you're sitting there for 30 minutes waiting for the movie to start.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a movie comes, I'm like, oh, I got to remember that.
Yeah.
You know.
And I forget every time.
And you punch it into your phone and you remember it. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Sweet Tooth, guys. I'm going to check that out. I gotta rewatch it first. And then
it was really good. Good family show for the most part.
Yeah. Apple TV has ordered a fifth season of For All Mankind and its spinoff, Star City. Yeah. Have you had a chance to watch it?
No, this is a blind spot for me. And it's because I have access to Apple TV. I just haven't really set it up on my devices. But it seems like the kind of show that I would really love to. So I'm
absolutely
definitely going to make one of my upcoming series to binge.
What I like about it is it's sci-fi, and I love sci-fi.
Yeah.
But it's sci-fi, but it feels so like real, and because it's just regular astronauts in regular astronaut suits, but they have guns in this one because of the situation. But it's more
real, right?
It's gorgeous.
Astronauts in a little bit in the future, where hey, we got to defend our space station or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cinematography and this thing's impeccable. Feels like it should be on IMAX, but luckily you're watching it at home.
What was that series that came out that had Kit Harington in space? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't. Kit Harington in space.
Yeah.
Oh, Eternals? No, that's a movie.
No, it was good. I think it only had one or two seasons. Oh, gosh, I wish I could remember. This is terrible.
I haven't even heard of that.
Terrible for a podcast for me to just throw out stuff I don't know. Don't know. I liked it, and it felt like that, where it's a very, like, kind of a scary but realistic, a little bit grungy future in space. I'll have to remember. I'll have to look it up, mention it in the next podcast.
But this one's really good. It's got the main guy from, and this is how we're going to have to say his name, the main guy from Altered Carbons is in it.
Oh, yeah,
in the first season. And he was actually, it reminded me after we talked about him before, is he's actually the newer RoboCop as well. Remember that RoboCop movie?
I don't.
Came out, I think, 2015?
I don't even remember that.
He had it was all black over his head and it went down to here. You don't remember that? Oh, man, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, oh, okay. Maybe I didn't see it if it had really bad reviews.
Yeah. We watched it at the house. Somebody, maybe me, bootlegged it for us.
Okay.
And so we watched it at the house back in the day when we were both in the other house.
But
yeah, so we have For All Mankind. It's an extremely beautiful series, well-written, a lot of heart, a lot of humanity in it. And then the spinoff, Star City, I bet it's going to be about them trying to survive on the moon for long-term, because that's kind of where the series is going. Next, we have Wednesday Season 2. Did you watch Wednesday Season 1?
I did not. I don't know.
There was something I watched over you.
There was a ton of hype about it, too. And I was just it just doesn't look appealing
it's
to me. I don't know
good.
Why.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not it's amazing. Pretty good, but there is a little bit of that I know you don't like as a teen drama stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I like Beetlejuice, and it seems like it's in that same kind of realm.
Yeah, matter of fact, she joined it. Yeah.
But yeah, she's joining Beetlejuice. But I just, I'm not in for it. So I like Beetlejuice, and I don't care as much for Adam's Family, which... You know,
oh, wow, really?
Yeah, which is, I know this is based on in that world, so I was just I don't think I'm gonna like it.
It is, it's got the parents, it's Adam's Family.
Yeah, it's full on just kind of a.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi's joining the cast.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Will that sway you at all?
Maybe.
He's going to be the new principal.
Well, and what's her name? The main actress has blown up and been.
Ortega, yeah.
She's been in all kinds of stuff now, so. Maybe the success of her career means I should probably go back and give this a shot.
It's worth it. The music's good. The visuals are pretty cool. It is very teen drama-y, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Yeah, definitely check that out. Steve Buscemi's going to be the new principal, replacing Christina Brienne from Game of Thrones. She was the principal last season.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Nice.
Next up and last for us in the news section here, Keanu Reeves joins Sonic 3. He's going to be the voice of Shadow.
Yeah. So we just had a few people up here picking through the stickers here at the podcast at the convention, and they were looking at the Sonic ones, and we were talking, and I was like, "Oh, did you hear about Shadow is going to be voiced by Keanu Reeves?" And like, "Oh yeah, I can't believe that." And went on for a minute about that, but I thought that was pretty cool. I'm hopeful that he's good. He's got a pretty star-studded cast already in that movie.
I love how Keanu Reeves he hasn't been in a Marvel movie, but he's been in like all these voice acting roles that are like. He's been in SpongeBob, all these things like that. I think he just does it for the fun now at this point.
Stuff that you think is kind of beneath him for his level of success. But, I mean, I don't know how old his kids are. Maybe he's doing like a lot of actors do. That he wants his kids to watch and enjoy.
Yeah.
I like that.
But
I'm not sure if that's the situation, but I could see that being it.
I just enjoy seeing what he does, though, because, again, I think he's doing it just because he's lighthearted and having fun with it. But I wonder, you got a good point there with his kids. That's kind of a trend that we see in Hollywood a lot.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All right, well, that's it for the news so far. How are you liking the convention?
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a little bit less foot traffic, I think, than we expected, but it's
true.
It's about on par with last year, I believe.
A little more booths, so we're getting to see more people display their video games and their development process.
Yeah, very cool games, too.
Yeah.
Tyler's
over there. He's talking it up with another developer. He's really meeting and greeting people. You heard me say his name. He flipped over here.
Yeah. That's racking up.
All right, things are winding down here at the Capital Creative Showcase, and before we go, we're going to be talking about the voting going on. So they've had the developer votes, they have the favorite booth and favorite game.
Mm-hmm.
You had your fair share of walking around. What are some of your highlights, and then let me know your favorite booth.
So it's fun to see all the... So the highlight would be seeing all the indie games, these games that were developed, created by... You know, high school kids or people that just do it as a hobby on the side or creators that are hoping to make this a career. I did play several of them. There was one in particular. I wish I don't know the name of it. That's really bad. It doesn't help.
Off to a great start.
Right? Also, one I do know, I played Hysteria. We talked about earlier where you're in a dark map pretty much. It's a all shadow game and
Hysteria.
You have a flashlight. Hysteria, yeah.
So good.
Isn't that what I said?
Yo, you did. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Okay, yeah. I forgot that you said, man, that game is a beautiful game.
Yeah, and it was only the first level. It's like the, you know, training level or whatever. So once I finally figured out how to not die and I got to the end of the first level, I was like, oh, crap, that's it. But it was a cool game. And the young guy who made it said he made it in only a month and a half.
Isn't that nuts?
Like, what? I haven't done anything useful in a month and a half.
Yeah, no. I binge watched X-Men in a month and a half.
Right. There was another game I played, the one I can't remember the name of, but you're a little like, you look like whipped cream or something like that. You're a little character, yeah. And you're running around on this map. You have to pretty much collect these three stones, and the mechanics in it is just, it looks like a, you know, side-scroller like Mario, but it's really hard to know, you don't know what you can and can't jump on, you don't know where certain, like, drop-offs are and stuff, and there's little indicators, but, you know, you got to pay attention to it. The biggest challenge is jumping over this section of water.
Yeah.
There's a young lady next to me playing another game, and she had just tried this one. And I just kept dying in the water, and it would just tally up, you know, how many lives you've used. It doesn't count down. But I got up to 82, I think it was 80, no, 80. 80 lives, 80 deaths, I guess.
Jesus.
Trying to get across this water, and I gave up. I stood up. And then the lady's like, what are you doing? And I was like, 80's enough for me. She's like, no, do it, like, give it like three more times. And I thought about it. I was like, okay, I guess I can go for even 100 because I was dialing up death. So you fall right in the water. And she's the one that said, just take a second. Don't jump for the water droplets because you have to bounce across the bubbles or whatever. She says, don't jump for them when you think it's right. Take a second and just count the time in between them. I was like, I know that makes sense. I don't know why I didn't do that. I'm just thinking, I'll get lucky. Just keep, So, yeah, sure enough. It was like between six and seven seconds. But even then, counting and waiting to jump at the right time, it was so tricky to get across those bubbles. But it made it very challenging. I finished the game in, I think it was 92 lives. And it was, it was fun. It was a cool little challenge. And I remember talking to the guy who's running the show here, Nathan.
Yeah.
He happened to come by, and he's like, oh, yeah, I talked to the guy that created that, and a lot of people are having a hard time with it. He said, hey, that's exactly what I wanted to do. So I wanted to make sure you were mad in the middle of the game because it really, gets you engaged in the game. You're really, if it was easy to win, you just play it real quick and walk away. But if it's a challenge and you're willing to stick through it to beat that challenge, you feel like you accomplished something by the end of it. And it was really effective. I thought it was pretty cool. I wish I knew the name of it off the top of my head, though.
I believe I'm looking for it now. I believe it's Shelley Jensen that did it. I believe it was Shelley Jensen. But I saw that too. That's good feedback because if that's what they're wanting, that's what they're wanting. But could you imagine how many people are like, "Ah, I'm good. I'm walking away."
Yeah.
Well, that tells you that that's going to happen to your game.
Yeah.
You know, so it's good for these people to see that in real. Because boy, can you imagine all those developers that don't have access to something like this?
Oh yeah.
And they're just hoping it works out. Then they're wondering like, man, everybody plays about 5 minutes of my game and they quit. I don't know what's going on.
They're sending it to their friends and hey, just try this out for me. Give me some notes. And their friends like, oh my god, I'm tired of playing your games. Like, I'm good. Or they don't want to give it the time that it takes to test it.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll test it the first couple times, but then after the third or fourth revision, they're just like, hey, find somebody else.
Yeah.
So this is a great opportunity to get feedback from gamers. and your development game. What do you think? What were some of your highlights and top games you've seen?
I tell you, my number one highlight is seeing the students. You talked about Hysteria.
Yeah, yeah.
These kids that had, some of the kids only have a year and a half working with Unity, which is the engine that they're using over at that school. Valley River, I knew I was going to mess it up, John. I knew I was going to mess it up. Valley River Oaks. But I'm going to actually be having an interview with a teacher in a couple weeks to discuss it more. But to see the work these kids go through, and in a month and a half to create some of these amazing games, and some of the kids have been doing it for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And at that age, I was not that focused.
Oh, yeah. I wish we had access to this kind of... They didn't have these programs so back when we were at that age.
God.
I'm almost positive we would both be in this program if we were in high school today.
100%. What a great point, John, because I had a web design class that I liked so much that I wanted to take it again, and they wouldn't give me credit, so I became the TA for it.
Yeah.
So that I could just basically take it again, and the teacher was cool like that, just let me just tinker around. I actually designed the FFA website for our school.
Nice.
Because I loved it so much, but it wasn't embraced like it is today. Think of how much I would be loving this stuff. So that's a great point.
Yeah, that's so cool. And we'd be you do what you can in school, and then once you get home, it's like, hey, and I can work on my personal side project as I'm learning to develop a game, you know? It's awesome to see that they have access to this. Not only are the students showing their dedication by even showing up and setting up a table and stuff, this isn't easy. They got to put together the work to just be here and all the time and making the game. The teacher, for his commitment to his students to push this program and teach them along the way. And I mean, Unity, obviously the technology to make video games has come so far that you're not sitting there logging in ones and zeros anymore.
I actually talked to Gabriel, the teacher, about that, and I was asking, you're teaching in Unity, why not Unreal Engine or maybe one of the other ones? So Unity and Unreal are the free ones, and Unity is Ubisoft, Unreal is
Epic.
Yeah. And he says the kids probably want to play with Unreal Unreal Engine more because their favorite games are usually done with Unreal.
Yeah.
Fortnite famously is Unreal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so all these big AAA titles. But this is the one that's easier for them to learn because they could either learn from the coding basics, and he tries to teach them like the actual coding, right? But then once they get past that phase, it's very much place, learn. It's geometrical, not necessarily knowing the code.
It's the physical positioning. And it's an easier one for them to grasp.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he said that there's a community behind it, too. So there's a big community of other developers where if you get stuck, you can just message somebody in the community, and they'll be like, oh, I did that. Yeah, what you got to do is this.
And is the Epic side a little more competitive or something like that?
Epic is all cutthroat.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was saying there's no real support out there for it because they expect you to already know how to use it at that point.
Yeah.
And I just
thought, if I help you, then you're going to be more competition, and I don't need that. I got you.
If I were to jump into the world of game development, which I just don't even think I have the time, I would definitely be Unreal Engine.
Yeah.
Unity.
Unity, yeah.
I'm going to tell you right up, we're on hour 6 and my brain is fried.
Already, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, interviewing with people and just learning about these different games they're working on and stuff. It's a lot of input.
We met a bunch of crazy, crazy talented people here, some really cool people. We also had a chance to talk to the Capital Creative Showcase themselves and the Sacramento Developer Collective and the efforts that they're putting forth here in Sacramento to showcase the developers. And they do the Game Jam, which is a very hands-on process. I'm so happy to be here. It's really interesting to see everything. We got to meet a brand new, he's not brand new, he started in fall, but a new podcaster. Talked to him for a little bit, and again, that passion's there too.
Yeah.
And I'll put links in the description for everybody, including him. But he was picking our brains. We were picking his a little bit, seeing how he's doing it. It was really good people. I got to meet the people over at Extra Life, which is, if you guys are familiar, you can stream for charity. And they have a booth over there. They're giving away D&D dice like we are.
Yeah.
They're giving away candy like we are. Okay, they know how to get people to the booth.
Yeah.
It's been a really cool event. So, what is your vote for best game? What is the vote?
That's probably not fair. There's a lot of them I didn't play. Of the ones I did play, I'd probably just go with Hysteria. It was short, but it was definitely memorable. Once I learned how the game is played.
I keep singing the praises, John. I hate to keep doing that, but it's Cobalt Tactics. Cobalt Tactics. It was a beautifully pixelated game. It's pixel art stuff.
Yeah.
But the trees and the dialogues and your options and just so many things.
Yeah.
That game.
A lot of depth to the game.
Yeah. I asked. Like, is this on Steam yet? No, not yet. You let me know when it's on Steam.
Right?
Yeah. I'm on it. I'm on it.
Yeah. What was it last year? We got right after the convention. It was in a pre-release stage. Was
Bullock Mine Warfare?
Bullock, that's it, yeah. I was like,
they're not here this year. Time. Bullock's been here two years in a row and is one of the staples.
He's probably working on the next one. There's
a couple that are like Zach Wynn's not here with his projects and stuff like that. So a lot of new faces here, and we're missing some of our old classics. But you know, life is life.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, so that was best game. Let's go with best booth. Who had the best presentation? I'll start off with Azra Gaming. They've kept it clean, but it just looks so professional.
Yeah.
And I was talking to, I believe it was Nathan as well, who again is the creator of this event. He was saying, like, I'm so glad to see people starting to use those banners now. The banners we have behind us, the banners they have there. Because it makes your game pop. You're selling your game, you know?
Yeah, and they actually do look very professional. I mean, you could have told me they were sent here by, you know, Bethesda or somebody to represent a game that
they've
made.
They have that prestige, that look about them. And not only, I mean, the game is gorgeous. Yeah. It's really, and it is definitely, I've noticed people stop at that one just because it's like, it's an eye.
It looks good, yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Again, the website with all the trailers on it, I'll put that down there. You watch the trailer for it, they're announcing a brand new character, this witch character. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, that feels like it's made by, Bethesda, Ubisoft, something like that. For sure. What do you think? What booth is shining other than Geek Freak's booth? I will say, we've had people. I'm going to throw this out there. We've had people walk up like, "How do I vote for Geek Freak?"
Exactly.
You can't. We're not a video game developer.
Yeah.
But we would have won this thing.
We have like a little Tetris and Mario game set up on the side.
We do.
I heard somebody asking one of the guys like, "Can we vote for the Mario game?" And he's like, "No, that's not in the competition."
Yeah.
Like, that's funny. I think I'm going to go with you though, Ezra. It really stands out.
It's a
above
good look.
The rest. It's just looks really cool.
Yeah, and they also have. I like how they. We're looking at it from here, by the way, guys. So just so you know, because we can see them from our booth. They have the monitor out towards the player, so the player can give the feedback, play the game, and then they're seeing exactly what the player sees.
Yeah,
that's so cool. I love that. That's that direct feedback from your game developer.
I've seen a few like that too, where they have a second monitor that the developer can watch you play.
Yeah,
and that way they can kind of talk you through certain stuff or ask, you know, what you're thinking about live.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Well, it's been an amazing event, and again, I want to thank the Capital Creative Showcase and the SDC for inviting us out once again. We look forward to being out here again next year. Every time we do this event, we're always like, oh, let's do this different, like, let's do that different next year.
Yeah.
And I think we made some big improvements, and I think there's more things I want to do next year.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a slip and slide, John. What do you think?
So, an inflatable, like, dragon slip and slide, water slide.
Oh,
I see
God.
They got those at Costco right now.
I cannot wait for next year already.
So I'm here with David at the Capital Creative Showcase. Very exciting news. David, who made Board of the Kings, just won the People's Choice Award. How do you feel about that, David?
Well, first off, I'll start off. This was not a solo effort. This was a effort by a team of very dedicated people. We've been at this for about a year and a half, I want to say, this project.
Yeah.
Ever since we started, we met at the initial Progressive Game Jam about a year or so ago, not the first one, but our meetup started through a Progressive Game Jam.
Nice.
I forgot the question. I'm sorry.
No, that's great. That's great. So how did you guys come up with the concept for this game? You said it's been about a year and a half of development.
It's been
a
year and a half. I'll be honest with you. It was pure shower thought.
Yeah?
Purely a shower thought. Like, it just started with... I don't even remember the context. It was mostly just like... What if RPG, but chess?
Yeah.
What if we just took chess and we threw all the RPG mechanics at it?
That's perfect.
It's ever since then, it's just been an experiment of throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
And so you had the initial thought and then you built this team around you, or you had other people come along in the process?
I had the initial thought and the consistent team of five that we... So that's the magic of the Progressive Game Jam that we did.
Because
basically we met... I pitched the game idea.
Yeah.
The team sort of built around the hype of the idea alone.
Oh, fantastic.
We took a lot, like I said, it's been pretty much just throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
The pitch even had crazier ideas that outright, it wasn't just that they were crazy, it's that they outright did not work.
Yeah.
And we just tried them. We recognized that it was a problem. And we threw it out and we did a different thing. So it was just experiment, 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 experiment.
And that's the benefit of bringing it together a team, right?
Is like, absolutely.
I'll have some crazy ideas, but somebody else will check it and say, hey, you know what, let's try this out instead. And that's where you make the best
definitely
product.
And I think one of the best things about this team is the fact that we've stayed consistent with a vision. Because it's always easy for everyone to just have an opinion and just start pushing in their own direction until it just starts reaching a point of argument. This has been a great team. It's been a great
good
cohesion of ideas, a great collaboration. Nice. It's been an excellent team.
That's awesome.
Outright.
You guys had an amazing table here at the Capital Creative Showcase. How did you feel presenting? Is this your first time here? Is this your second?
This is not my first time. I've actually done other games at this expo in the past. Probably one other game that people might know me by as a very small mobile game called Raining Snakes that I did quite a while ago. It's probably 2017, something like that.
Yeah.
That one was a more pure solo effort, but to me, it emphasizes, again, the value of a team, because this got as far as it did by a team alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So next year, are you guys going to come back and present the same game? Are you guys working on something new, or what's in the future?
The future is as long as we can kind of continue with this, and as soon as we can actually make a full release of it, then we'll kind of work it out, but this game is just at the very beginning stages, so we'll see. We'll see what works. We'll see what doesn't. We're still doing that experimental thing. We'll see.
We'll see
what happens. Keep on chugging until we actually get until we see which way it goes.
Yeah.
Either it takes off. We get investor funding, and we actually can pursue this as a company, or we reach a proper conclusion to it. We maybe make a final demo and then we move on. But I think the biggest thing is probably as a team.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Whatever we do, it's as a collaboration.
That's great.
Yeah.
Once you guys do come to a conclusion on this game, a full release, and it's majorly successful, what do you have a plan of a future game that you want? Is there some dream you have of a next game, or are you just focused on this one right now?
This was a shower thought.
Yeah.
I am always, so talking about me personally, I'm always of the idea of ideas are dime a dozen.
Yeah.
It's great to have a vision, but it's about the work that goes into the vision. Yeah. That's what makes the difference.
Yeah.
You can have ideas. I have a booklet of like, not a booklet, I got a notebook of like 100 ideas that just on paper sound like trash. But if we put the work into it, we could probably whittle it down. But the point is, ideas are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
It's not about the idea. It's about
the team.
Who you get together, who you bring together, and whether it works or not.
Yeah. So I'm thinking in the future, this is going to be a huge success. You're going to bring your team together. You guys go through your book, and you start thinking like, okay, let's all work together and pick out what's the next gem that we can create out of this list, right?
Exactly.
Hopefully
it's not my shower thought this time.
I like it. All right, man. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Very nice speaking to you. Good to see your table here, and hope you guys had a good time.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you
for the interview.
Definitely.
Go Team Checkmate.
Good job.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Capital Creative Showcase. I'm Tyler with the Who's Got Next Game crew, along with the Geek Freaks. I'm here with the people here at the Capital Creative Showcase. One of the developers for the game, Goners, who actually won an award for the Developer's Choice Award for all of the games here. Each developer got to vote for a game, and everybody decided that you guys are the grand champion. So go ahead and just introduce yourselves one at a time. We'll start on this side and work our way around. So go ahead and just introduce yourself, let everybody know what you do for the game and all that kind of stuff as well.
So my name is Cameron Kanjuzeski. I am the lead designer and game designer. I've designed the levels and all the gameplay mechanics. So basically they give me all their art, and I throw it in there and make it look good and get it working in Engine and program it. So that's my
awesome.
Role.
I'm Trinity Coomer. I do all the art. I'm the lead artist on the game.
I am Francisco Flores. You can call me Bernie. I am the sound designer for the game, and I also do just editing and whatever needs help here and there. Things like social media, and I made the trailer and all that. So, sound guy.
Hey, sound's important, man. Right. Sound is important. Right, we're all holding a microphone right now, so sound is very important.
True. Very, very true.
But yeah, I just kind of want to go over with you guys. Just kind of give me the story of the game. What's it about? Because you were one of the few booths I actually didn't get a chance to visit. I'm really bummed because you guys ended up winning an award for it. So kind of walk me through, like, what's the game all about? And, you know, you guys can respond as you want to, you know. So go ahead.
So basically the player is a character named Ren, and she is seeking out this mythological character named Yaru, and he has these magic abilities to grant people's wishes. And she goes on this journey to find him and undergo all these challenges to get her wish granted. In our demo, what we have so far is her getting there and meeting a bunch of these characters and getting into the mansion. But that's pretty much the plot of the story. I mean, she runs into a bunch of friends along the way. Two other characters that are in the demo are Finch and Crow, and they will eventually become playable characters. They have their own unique special abilities. So Ren is actually a telepath, so she has telekinetic abilities. And the other characters have other abilities that we want to add later on. Do you guys have anything to add about that?
No, that sounds great.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
So being the art designer, what was the inspiration for the art style? Like, where did it come from?
I get that question a lot, and it's really hard to pinpoint it because I've had a lot of, I feel like users.
Well, of course, I mean, there's multiple inspirations for things, but
right.
I know there's probably a couple different things, but kind of just walk through how you ended up here.
They're just old characters that I had in a sketchbook. Mm-hmm. I guess I was trying to draw sort of, I don't know, grungy maybe.
Yeah.
A little messy sketchbook. And then we kind of went with a sort of cartoon style for the rest of the game.
No, and that's awesome. I mean, your guys' game, from what I was seeing, your guys' booth was pretty busy. I mean, you guys had people coming on and off, and I kept passing by, sneaking a peek every so often, but I didn't, you know, I don't want to take away from other people. You know, I'm running my booth on this side as well. But first of all, congratulations to the award. Like, that's cool. How does it feel from, like, all the developer standpoint? I mean, you guys won it by one vote, which is close to say the least, but how does it feel to, like, know that people out here are recognizing your game?
Well, I think we're very flattered because I know not any of us were thinking that we were going to get the award. We're just very happy that people have been responding to it and enjoy it. I think it's easy for us to not really realize what we have. So to get that kind of response and to be given this award really means a lot. And we're all very flattered. And we've been working really hard on it these last, like, 6 months. So yeah, we're really flattered and very grateful.
So how long has the game been under development in total?
So around like 6 to 8 months. We don't have the time to work on it constantly all the time, but yeah, roughly about like 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the grand scheme of your guys' game, are you guys wanting to, is this something you want to get to console? Is it piece, like, where's the end goal for your guys' game?
So we definitely want to put it on Steam, but I've always played on PC and console, and I think it'd be really sad to not have it on game consoles in the future. So, like, if we were given the opportunity, we definitely would love to have it on, you know, whatever game consoles are out at the time, you know, like the PlayStation 5, Xbox, Switch, etc. We already have gamepad support in the game, so we kind of got the hard part down, I feel like.
No, it's cool. It's so cool to see that you guys have something that people are recognizing and are like, hey, this is good stuff. Keep going. Keep pursuing, you know, what you're doing. So is it a level-based system? Like, in your game, is it something where you're progressing through more of a story-oriented? Like, kind of give me a little more in-depth drop of, like, you know, do I start at level 1 and go to level 2? Or is it, you know, an open-world kind of story thing?
So we don't have it in the game yet, but there's going to be a hub. So the mansion is itself a level and also a hub.
Okay.
And it's going to branch off to different levels. And inside the mansion, Yaru has these souls trapped in these rooms. And he's, like, siphoning off their energy from their wishes and their dreams. And so to free them, you actually, like, jump into their wishes and their dreams and just guide them through whatever they need to be helped with.
Okay.
So it is going to be a level-based structure. But the mansion itself is going to be kind of a hub. Yeah.
That's so cool to think about, too, because, like, it's cool that you guys have, like, almost like in other
types of games where the hub is also a stage. Like, that's how you get world by world. So, like, the one I can think of offhand is Diddy Kong Racing, where they have the main hub of the world, and you enter into it, and it changes the dynamic of the game and gives you into the mood. So, and it seems like from the artwork and the design and what I've seen, like, your game has a very somber tone to it. It's very, like, dark. Not in a bad, like, not in the negative sense, but it is dark theme. So, in the storyline of it all, what are you wanting to reach to people? Is there something that, like, your game, you want them to learn something from your game from the outside, or is it more just like you're in it, you're following the story, and that's how it goes?
So I'm not really sure if we've really come to an idea of, like, what we want the overall, like, message to be when you take away from, like, when you finish the game and you, like, what takeaway you have. But I think we're definitely just kind of trying to see where the story goes and try to figure out what the message is going to be along the way. We definitely want to explore some, like, sad stories and sad themes, because at the end of the day, you are talking to people that are dead and trying to relieve them and try to save their souls and relinquish them from, like, this endless torment of being stuck. So that's the main idea. So we definitely want to touch on sadder ideas, but as far as, like, the main moral of the story, I think we're still trying to figure that out.
And that'll come with time. I mean, you guys have been in development for a little while, so things are going to flesh out and come together. But I'm just excited for you guys that people see your game and see the potential in it. Is there a place that they can follow you guys to figure out where the game is and watch progression and that kind of stuff? So is there anything like that?
So right now, we don't have a website, but we do have an Instagram page. It's at Goner's Game. That's the best place to follow us, because we're going to be posting updates there as we develop. But eventually we will have a website. But right now it's just our Instagram at Goner's Game.
And I love that you guys are repping the merch too. That's cool. That's awesome. So is that stuff that you eventually want to have for people to, like, be able to get for the game once you've finished it?
I think it'd be really cool, yeah. Like, if we did have something like that, like, eventually, if people, like, start to really enjoy the game and, like, pick up on it, I think it'd be so. I would wear so many shirts.
Hey, listen, a sticker is a sticker, man. If you see, we got a ton of stickers with all our podcast stuff, man.
Yeah, right.
Stickers are the way to go. Eventually, magnets, then shirts, then hats, like, all that kind of stuff.
For sure, it's
gonna come, but I think it'd be cool because people already love your game. So there's already more to come. But, well, hey, I appreciate you guys stopping by. Congratulations again to your guys' award. Keep going with what you guys are doing, and go follow them on social media. The game is Goner's, which is, I love the name, by the way. I think it's a super cool name. I don't know why. I just got a nice tone to it. So, thank you guys for stopping by, and we can't wait to see what you guys do next time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Well, that does it for this year's Capital Creative Showcase. I want to thank the SDC for inviting us out to this year's event. It was a blast, as per usual. I want to thank all those developers out there who are showing their hard work, letting us celebrate their achievements alongside them. And lastly, I want to make sure to thank you, the listeners. We all work hard to share our passion, and we really appreciate you taking the time to hear us out. Next week, we're going to be at Rancho Cordova on May 4th for a Star Wars esports convention. If you're in the area, please come out and hang out with us. We're going to be giving away a ton of prizes and playing Smash Brothers once again. It should be a blast. All right, guys, have an excellent week.